Morning, Frontier Church! Woo! I know this is going to come as a great surprise to some of you because you have allowed this bald head to fool you, but I am not Pastor Steve Yates. Pastor is out on vacation, actually a sabbatical for a couple of weeks or a couple of weekends, and just getting away, but he is joining us on live stream. We love you and we miss you, Pastor. Yeah. Over the past several weeks, Pastor Steve has been leading us through a series of messages that he has titled Fight the Power. And these messages that he has been leading us through have been designed to do two things. Number one, to make us aware or help us understand that we're not alone in this world. In the book of Ephesians, if you look over in chapter 6, it tells us that in the spiritual realm that is around us, we have powers, we have rulers, we have principalities. And let me tell you something. Their goal is to stop you from doing anything and everything that God has ordained you to do. That's their goal. That's all they want to do is they want to mess up your life. They want to mess with your life. But the second part of this series that you need to understand about this series is that you have the power to stop that. This series is to help you understand that you don't have to let them have their way in your life. You have the authority, you have the power to control that if you so decide. All right. Now, with all that being said, I'm going to continue on in the direction that Pastor has laid out for us with this series. And today I want to share with you a message that I hope will help you understand how to gain total control of your life. Let me ask you a question. Is there anyone here that doesn't want freedom in their life? I mean, seriously, is there anyone here that doesn't want freedom? Don't we all want that? You know, that comes by understanding your life, by understanding who you are in Christ, by being able to stand up for who you are in Christ. And I want to help you understand that today. I want to set the stage this morning by sharing some biblical testimonies with you about men that have had that control, had that freedom in their life. And the first one I want to talk to you about is a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham was called out by God to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham stood firm in what he believed, and he took his son up on the mountain, and he laid him down on the altar and was going to sacrifice his son to God as a burnt offering, his son as a burnt offering to God, because God told him to do it. And he had enough faith in God to know that God's heart was in the midst of that. So he trusted God enough to take his son up on the mountain and lay him down on an altar to sacrifice him. He went so far as to have his blade ready. And God called to him and said, because you have done as I've asked, because you've proven yourself, because you've shown yourself worthy, God said, you don't sacrifice your son. He said, there's a ram over here. He said, you sacrifice the ram. Don't you sacrifice your son. You know, through that testimony, through that story of Abraham, I believe that we can all learn that there's going to come a time in your life. Look at me. Look right here. There's all going to come a time in your life when God's going to ask you for something that you're not going to want to give up. You know that? God's going to call upon you and he's going to ask you to give up something in your life that is dear to you, precious to you, something that you hold so close to your heart that you're just not going to want to have to give it up. And when that time comes, when God calls upon you to give that up out of your life, you're going to learn two things about yourself. You're going to learn first and foremost where you really stand with God, and you're going to learn what's most important in your life. Do you understand that? Do this. Yeah, you see, that's where God is. You're going to learn some things about yourself when he calls upon you. There's also a man by the name of Joseph. And we're told in his story that when he was just a young boy, that he was out in the fields with his brothers. And his brothers were so jealous because of the relationship that he had with his mother and his father. They didn't have that kind of relationship. But Joseph did. And they became so jealous that they took him, they picked him up and sold him over into slavery, and they shipped him out to Egypt so that he wouldn't be a part of the family anymore. Now, this is just a young boy, maybe 12 or 13 years old. During this time, listen to me, that Joseph is being hauled away, taken out to Egypt. Man, I can tell you that he was not understanding what his brothers just did to him. He had to be filled with hurt. He had to be filled with a brokenness. He couldn't understand, why would you do that to me? How could you do that to me? I'm your brother. And then somewhere down the line, I can assure you that it turned into unforgiveness and anger that just began to build up in his life. But you know, we see later on in Joseph's story where God used Joseph to save the whole nation of Israel. A great famine come into play. And because Joseph was in Egypt, because he was in charge of the things that held the food and things in Egypt, he saved the whole nation of Israel because his brothers sold him over into slavery. Do you understand that? God was working. God was in the midst. And I do not believe for a minute that God said, I need you to go sell your brother over into slavery. But I believe God used it. I believe God used that mishap in his life to save a whole nation of people. But during all that time, I can promise you, he was human, man. He had blood running through his veins, just like you and me. He had skin, just like you and me. And I can promise you, he had anger built up and hurt built up and unforgiveness built up. And when we look at his story, when we look at the story of Joseph and everything that happened into his life, it reminds us, you know, the things have happened to all of us. Amen. Let me tell you something about yourself. And I don't even know you. I want to. You've been hurt. You've been hurt, man. There's been things that have happened in your life that have hurt you, that have broke you. There's been things happen in your life, man, that made you angry, and you've carried around an unforgiveness in your heart because you just don't know how to forgive that person. I want you to understand something. It's really important that you get this. You can't have the life that God wants you to have carrying around that kind of luggage. That baggage doesn't go, man. You see, Joseph, he learned how to forgive his brothers, and that's when he began to live in peace. He learned how to forgive his brothers and understand a little bit about life, and that's when he began to really, truly live in peace. Well, let me tell you something about yourself. Until you choose to let go of those things in your life that have hurt you and broke you and made you angry and tore you apart, until you let go of those things in your life that have come into your life that have brought that kind of thoughts and things into your life, until you let go of that, you will never find the peace that God wants you to have in your life. We live in a world today, you can see people, man, and they're angry. They get road rage. They're shooting people. You know, they're filled with all kinds of stuff in their life that they just can't or won't let go of. Amen. Through Joseph's story, we understand that if we want peace, you got to let it go. Say, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. That's the only way you'll find peace. And then let's not forget about Moses. You know, Moses was raised up in the Pharaoh's palace. The Pharaoh raised him like he was one of his sons. But Moses understood he was a Hebrew. He was not an Egyptian. And so one day while he's out in the yard out there, he sees an Egyptian slave master beating on one of the Hebrew slaves. And Moses says, that's my people. That's my brother over there. And Moses stepped in and he ended up killing that Egyptian slave master. And then fear set in. You ever been scared? Scared? Scared. Thank you. There you go. You ever been scared? He ended up leaving. Don't you go there. He ended up leaving Egypt. Went to a place called Midian. Met a woman over there. Got married. Had a bunch of kids. Life went on, you know. But when Moses turned 80 years old, listen to me, 80, he was old. What? When he was 80 years old, he's out in the desert tending his father-in-law's sheep, and all of a sudden, God calls out to him through a burning bush. Y'all know that story, right? Take your sandals off. The ground where you're standing is holy. The burning bush. He goes over and checks this out, and God said to Moses, he said, I got something I need you to do for me. I need you to go back into Egypt, a place where he ran from, because he knew that there were going to be consequences because he killed that man. And God sent him right back into the place that he left from. And he said to him, I need you to go back there. I need you to go back there, and I need you to lead my people, the Hebrew people, out of slavery. I've heard them crying to me. I've heard them call out to me. I've heard them in their anguish. Let me ask you something. Do you not believe God hears you when you call out to him? Do you not believe when you're hurting and you're broken and you're feeling mistreated, things are going on in your life that you just don't understand, and you call out to God? Do you really believe that God hears you? God hears you. You never lift your voice until God hears you. The angel came to Daniel and said, the moment you begin to pray, God heard you. And God said, and I've heard my people over in Egypt. And he said, I need you to go get my people. Let them go, tell the Pharaoh. Let them go. Amen. So Moses went into Egypt, and we all know that story where he led all the people out. And you know, if we look at the testimony of Moses' story, it tells us that no matter how old we are, God's not done with you yet. Do you know that? He's not done with you yet. As long as you're breathing, as long as you're kicking, God ain't done with you yet. When God calls you out, ask you to do something for him, you're going to have to answer. And God will, and look right here, because it's really important. God will call you. God's going to call you. And you need to be prepared to answer him when he calls you. He may call you to come and work the parking lot on Saturday night because we need help. He may call you to work with the children. He may call you to work with our accounting team or our youth ministry. He may call you to be an evangelist. An outreach. I don't know what God's going to call you to do. But he ain't done with you yet. Because you're still here. And that tells me he's going to call you. You just need to be ready to answer him. I want to tell you about one other guy. And this is where my message is coming from. Because I'm getting ready to start preaching. What? I want to tell you about a man by the name of Daniel. And this story of Daniel, as I studied through this and began to put this message together, God spoke to my heart in so many ways about Daniel. He was just a kid, again, probably 12 years old or so, and he was living in a place called Judah. And Daniel had a life, man, just like any kid. He grew up there, out there just running around the streets with the other kids and probably playing kick the can or something, you know. Kick the pottery. You know. But he grew up there just with a normal childhood. But a great king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar decided one day that he wanted to overtake Judah. So he sent his army in, and man, they raided the place. They burned houses. They stole everything that the people had. But then one of the most difficult and challenging things that happened to the people was that after they plundered them, robbed them, stole everything they had, all these home invasions, so to speak, they ended up putting people in chains and dragging them back to Babylon so that they could be used as slaves. And Daniel, even though he was just a child, he was one of those people. They put him in chains and they drug him back to Babylon. The Bible tells us that Daniel was a good-looking kid, that he was intelligent. And so the king, he didn't want him working out in the field. He said, I want that one in the palace. So he went through a training program and they put him in the palace. And Daniel began to serve the king. So basically, in just a matter of a short time, Daniel's life was turned upside down. Let me ask you something. Have you ever had your world turned upside down? I mean, really? Something ever happened in your life where one day, I mean, everything is going great. Life is wonderful. You're kind of high-stepping when you walk. Everything is just great. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, without any kind of warning, everything turns around and you find yourself in the midst of something saying, what happened? You see, that's what happened to Daniel. One day he's a happy-go-lucky kid, living at home with his parents, going to school, I mean, learning about God's laws, God's word, all of the things that you do at that age, and then all at once, he was gone. His life went from being happy and content to a place where he became lost and totally confused. If you've been there, then I can assure you that you must know how Daniel felt as he was in Babylon, away from everything that he knew. But it's important that you understand something. Daniel didn't quit. You see, Daniel loved God. And so Daniel didn't quit. Daniel didn't give up. Daniel didn't just say, I'm not going to do this anymore. Daniel didn't say, I'll just go jump off the next cliff. Daniel didn't do that. Daniel stuck it out, and Daniel did what he needed to do because he still believed that God was on the throne and that God was in control. And I want to tell you something, and it's really important that you get this. There's going to be times in your life when things are going to turn upside down. You haven't seen the last of it. I promise you, you've dealt with it in the past. You've seen it happen in the past. You've watched people go through it in the past. But I'm telling you, it's not the last and only time that it's going to happen. Things are going to happen in your life that's going to turn you inside out. Things are going to happen in your life that's going to turn you over. But let me tell you something. When you can stand up and face it, like Daniel stood up and face it, when you can say, I believe God is in control, I believe God is still on the throne, let me tell you what, it doesn't matter what's going on around you, you can make it through it. You can make it through it. Let me tell you something. When you have that kind of faith, when you have that kind of relationship with your Creator, man, marriages come back together. Children come home. Sicknesses go away. Financial problems, they just seem to go away. You don't know where it come from. When you have that kind of a relationship with God, God's going to provide for you. God's got you when you have that kind of relationship with God. So Daniel stood his ground because Daniel had that kind of faith. You see, in spite of the circumstances that he was living in, he woke up every morning with that same passion and that same thankfulness to God because God gave him another day that he could serve him and worship him and thank him just for allowing him to be there. And I think what we can learn from Daniel's story is simply this. Our circumstances, they don't have to dictate our actions. Do you get that? Do you know that when most people get hurt or broken or something happens in their life, you know they get angry? They get upset? They point fingers? They want to go whoop somebody. That's too many of y'all wanting to go whoop somebody. But you don't have to allow the circumstances that you're living with to affect your actions. What does that mean, Pastor Rocky? Well, I'm glad you ask. It means whatever's going on around you doesn't have to affect what's going on in you. That's your bottom line. What's going on around you doesn't have to affect what's going on inside of you. I want you to read something with me. This is a writing by a guy by the name of Steve Maraboli. And this is what he said. Let's put it up there. I guess we can put it up there. Can we put it up there? Ah, we can put it up there. Look at this. Do not dilute the truth of your potential. Don't dilute the truth of your potential. We often convince ourselves that we cannot change and that we cannot overcome the circumstances of our lives. We convince ourselves that we cannot overcome the circumstances of our lives. Nothing's ever going to get better for me. But that is simply not true. You've been blessed. You've been blessed with immeasurable power to make positive changes in your life. But you can't just wish it. You can't just hope it. You can't just want it. You have to live it, be it, and do it if you want to receive it. Man, if I don't speak to some of you, I need to see you after church. Man, I'm going to move ahead a little bit in this story. Actually, I'm going to move quite a bit ahead in this story where Daniel, now he was a boy. All this stuff's happening in his life. Some years have passed. Daniel is now 80 years old. 80 years old. And he's still in slavery. He's still in Babylon. He's still in slavery. But now he's under a new king. Go with me here because this is really important. King Nebuchadnezzar has died, but another king by the name of Darius has come into power. And Darius, he likes him. He really, really likes Daniel. He sees the intelligence. He knows he's a God-fearing man. He knows he's honest. He knows he's truthful. So Darius really likes him. So one day, King Darius, he decides that he's going to put Daniel in charge of the whole government. Now, we have a boy from Judah that's been raised up in Babylon, and the king loves him enough that he's going to put him in charge of all the affairs of the entire government. But let me tell you something, what happened here. There's a bunch of other guys that's working there with him that saw that Daniel was getting ready to be promoted. And so that, you remember that spiritual realm we were talking about just a minute ago? Remember that, how I opened that up? Well, one of those little powers or imps, if you want to call it, that's in that spiritual realm started stirring up that little green demon that we call jealousy. You see that? Anybody in here ever been jealous? Half of you are lying to yourself. Started stirring up that jealousy. And these boys over here, they're looking at Daniel saying, well, wait a minute. You know, king is going to make him the ruler over everything. That needs to be us. This ain't right. This ain't right. That ever happened to you? That ever happened to you where something's getting ready to take place for you and everything is great and everything is good, but then all of a sudden, somebody just don't like that? So these guys decide they're going to dig up some dirt on Daniel. They're saying, you know, if we can just dig up enough dirt about him. You ever dig up dirt? Say no. Yeah, we didn't dig up dirt. Yeah, but they're wanting to dig up dirt on Daniel that they can take back to the king so the king will say, whoa, I might want to rethink this. So they start looking at Daniel, and let's go to the Bible. Daniel chapter 6. It'll be on the screen, or you can go with me in your own Bible. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. But here's what happens. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and the officers because of his great ability, the king made plans to put him over the empire. I just shared that with you. The administrators and the other officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling the government affairs, but they couldn't find anything. Look at that. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. My kind of guy. So they concluded, watch this. The only chance of finding grounds for accusing him will be in connection with the rules of his religion. You see, what happened there, they couldn't find anything on Daniel because Daniel was a righteous man. So they decided that they would use his faith in God against him. That ever happened to you? You ever had someone point a finger at you and say, I thought you was a Christian? You got tattoos. And you got rings hanging places. I thought you were a Christian. What do you mean you've been divorced? I thought you were a Christian. You read a Bible other than the King James. I thought you was a Christian. A party at your church? I thought you was a Christian. What are you doing hanging with them? You can't run with people like that. I thought you was a Christian. You see, people look and they see what's going on in our life. And they begin to judge us. And the first thing that they want to attack is your relationship with God, your relationship with Jesus Christ. You know why they want to attack it? Because they don't got one. Do you understand? They want to attack yours because they don't got one. I thought you was a Christian. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I need everybody to look at me just for a minute. Everybody, let's look at me for a minute. Because I'm going to tell you something, but you have to be ready to get this. This has to be something that your mind and your heart is open to receive. So are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Here you go. Your faith has absolutely nothing to do with pleasing everyone. Whoa, that's deep. Look at your neighbor and say, my faith has nothing to do with pleasing everyone. Amen. Let's give God praise for that. Woo! Yeah. Over in the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, here's what Jesus said. He said, I'm giving you a new commandment. Jesus, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You see, there's only one true mark of a disciple, of a Christian. You love one another. So I need you to turn to somebody and just say, I love you. That's it. Let me break it down for you. Then I'll move on. I have to love you. I have to love you. I have to love you. But I don't have to let you walk all over me because of my relationship with Jesus. That's it. I gotta love you. I love you, but I ain't got to let you walk all over me because of my relationship. You do what the Spirit of God says. You follow his lead. You do what he says and not what everybody else says. All right? Let's get back to Daniel. I get on these rabbit trails. And I'm back to Daniel. So in chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, it says, so the administrators and the high officers went to the king. Now they're going to try to trap Daniel in his faith. You guys with me here? So they go back to the king and they said to the king, long live King Darius. Let's build up your praise a little bit here and make you feel good about what we're getting ready to say. Long live King Darius. We are all in agreement. The administrators, officials, high officials, advisors, and governors. We've all got our little coup together here. We got a clique and we've joined together and we want to share something with you. He says, the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, the next month, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except you, your majesty, will be thrown in the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed. An official law of the Medes and the Persians, it can't be revoked. So King Darius, what does he do? He signs the law. So King Darius signed this law into place that for the next 30 days, if anyone prays to anyone other than him, they're going to be thrown into the lion's den. But what he didn't realize is that his good friend Daniel, his whole life was being jeopardized. And because Daniel was a righteous man, a God-fearing man, a man who had a relationship, a real relationship with the Lord, it didn't take him long to find him. It didn't take him long to catch him. It didn't take him long to run in on him and catch him praying to his father. You see, in verse 10, here's what it says. It says, when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, look what he did. First thing he did, when he learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with the windows open toward Jerusalem, and he prayed. Hello! I mean, they just put a law in effect that said, if I catch you praying, I'm going to put you in with the lions. Ain't nobody ever survived the lions. And Daniel goes home and gets on his knees and starts praying. Be honest with yourself. Raise your hand if you do that. I'll put your hand down. It says, he prayed three times a day, just as he's always done, giving thanks to his God. You see, ain't nobody can stop you from talking to God. I don't care where you are. I don't care what it says on the wall. I don't care what kind of sign somebody holds up. Ain't nobody can stop you from talking to the Lord when you feel a burden or an urge or desire to talk to your God. So in verse 11, it says, so they caught him. It says, so they went to Daniel's house, found him praying, asking for God's help. It says, so they went straight to the king. Of course they did. And they reminded him about his law. He said, didn't you sign into law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone except you, your majesty, that they're going to be thrown into the lion's den? I mean, didn't you do that? Well, yep, the king replied, and that decision still stands. He said, it's an official law of the Medes and the Persians. It can't be revoked. So they said to the king, they said, well, this man Daniel, you know, one of the captives from Judah, you know, the guy he's not one of us. He's one of those guys that we brought in here several years ago. One of the captives from Judah, he's ignoring your law. He ain't paying no mind to you. Because he still prays to his God three times a day. And hearing this, king was deeply troubled, tried to think of a way to save Daniel, spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this. It says, but in the evening, here's where it gets really good. The men went together to the king and said, you know, according to the laws, it can't be changed. I'm just kind of jumping through this for you real quick. So at last the king gave the order to grab up Daniel, throw him in the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, look at this. May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. You see, the king knew where Daniel stood with God. Let me ask you a question. If somebody looks at your actions, your walk, do they know where you stand with God? or do you have to tell them? Do you have to tell them that you're a Christian? Or can they see it? Do you have to advertise it? Or can they truly see it? You see, the king saw it here in Daniel. May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. A stone was brought and rolled over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of the nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. And the king went back to his palace, spent the night fasting, refused everything. You see, King Darius, he loved Daniel. You see, when a person, let me tell you something. When a person can see your righteousness, you know the word righteous means to be right with God. And when a person can see that you are right with God, truly on the inside, man, there's no arguing with that. There ain't no arguing with that. So now Daniel, let me just kind of recap you here. He's been thrown into the lion's den. Bill Stone's been rolled over the mouth, and they took wet clay, a moist clay, and they sealed around this lion's den, this rock that they put there. And then they took their rings that had an insignia on it, and they sealed around this clay with this insignia so that when somebody walked by and they looked at that piece of clay, they saw the king's insignia on that clay, and they knew that if they were to tamper with it, break it, move it, or anything else, the penalty was that they themselves would be thrown into the den. It's kind of like MC Hammer. Can't touch this. What are y'all laughing about? What do you mean you? Daniel was getting ready to face the greatest test of his life. The greatest test of his life. Everything in his life was getting ready to be tested. Let me ask you something. Seriously, I know. Has God ever tested your faith? Has he really? Has God ever tested? Do you know that you know that you know that God has tested your faith? You know that? Let me ask you a question. Do you know why God tests our faith? Let me tell you something. You see, God is omniscient. That means he knows everything. He knows about yesterday, he knows about today, and he knows about tomorrow. God is omniscient. He knows everything. And because God is omniscient, God already knows whether or not you're going to pass that test. Do you get that? He already knows. So it's important that we understand he's not testing us for him. You see, he's testing us for us. He's testing us so that, listen to me, so that we can see how limited we are without him. But then also, he's testing us so that we can see that nothing is impossible with him. You see, because as you're going through that test, you're going to cry out to God. You got that relationship going, and you're going to find yourself a closet. You're going to find yourself a place to cry out to God. When something in your life goes wrong, you're going to cry out to God. When things happen in your life that's beyond your control and you got no way to deal with it, you're going to cry out to God. And that's when God's going to say, I heard my child. I hear you, Mandy. I hear you. I hear you. Oh, man. Daniel's in the den. The law of that day said it can't be revoked. The law of that day said, man, you're there. And no one had ever survived the lion's den. No one. There was no way to get Daniel out of that den. So he spent the night. Now look what happened. Verse 19. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. And when he got out there, he called out in anguish. He said, Daniel, servant of the living God, Daniel, was your God whom you serve so faithfully, Daniel, was he able to rescue you from the lions? You see, the king even understood Daniel's relationship with God. Nobody, I bet you there was never a man in history that the king ran out there and said, "Hey, Josephus, you still in there?" King never done that to nobody but Daniel. But because he saw his faith in God, because he saw his relationship with God, the king knew. So he goes out there and he gets out and he says, "Daniel, Daniel, is the God that you so faithfully served, was he able to rescue you from the mouth of the lion? Was he able?" Wow. Look what Daniel said in verse 21. "Long live the king." He said, "My God sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lion so that they couldn't hurt me." He said, "I've been found innocent in his sight, and I've never wronged you. I'm innocent in your sight, O king." You know, there's some of us here today that are facing impossibilities in our life, and you feel like giving up. I want to ask you a question. Really important. Look right here. Look right here, all of you. What's your lion? What is your lion? Who is your lion? What is it in your life that is about to devour you? What is your lion? Who is your lion? Things in our life happen. Some of you can't even pay your rent because you got a lion. Some of you stole away. Some of you have a husband or a wife that has been stolen away by a lion. Some of you have a prognosis from the doctor that has said, "I'm sorry, I can't help you, but you've been bit. You've got a lion inside of you." Some of you have children that the lions have drug away. Who's your lion? What is your lion? Man. Sometimes God will allow the lion so that we can come to the end of ourselves and find him. The truth of the matter is this. The hardships that we deal with, those things that are impossible for us, they're not impossible for God. They just simply take us into a deeper level of dependence on him. You ever realize that when you found yourself stepped outside the line there where, you know, God's right there and I'm over here, but something happened, you cry out to God, tears flow, you get broke, you leave a big spot on the carpet about that big, and when you get up, you find out that, how did I get back over here? How did I get back here close to God? You see, that's how it happens. King was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. And verse 23 says, "Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God." And I want to tell you something. Back in verse 22, Daniel said, "My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me." Do you know that if the angel came to shut the lion's mouth, it had to be open? You don't shut a mouth that's already closed. The angel came and shut the mouth that was ready to devour the man of God, the woman of God, the servant of God. God sent his angel. He protected you from that lion when you didn't even know he was there. First Peter 5:8 says, "Be self-alert and aware, because the devil is like a roaring lion. He's just prowling around out there, seeking someone to devour. There's been times in your life, man, that the angel of God walked over to that lion and said, shut your mouth. You shut your mouth. You know, I'm going to close with this. We're getting down to that point where I got to close. And I apologize for keeping you, but this, I just couldn't get beyond it. I believe that God put me in this pulpit today to tell you that if you will put your trust in Him, not play. You see, we have too many Christians that play with God. And God don't want you to play with Him. God wants you to give yourself to Him. And I believe that God put me here this morning to tell you that if you will give your life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if you will really trust Him like Daniel did, if you'll put your all out on the ground, if you'll give Him everything that you are. You see, 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 9, says, nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before Him of whom we must all give an account. You see, God already sees it. He already knows who we are. But as Allie so gracefully sang this morning, He waited on us. He waited on you for such a time as this. So I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're able to stand, just stand up.